devotional service. They meditate on Gopal. And this was also sort of an example. They're quite advanced in devotional service. And when they saw Lord Ramachandra, they saw, well, he's green, he's carrying a bow, he's got matted hair, but this is Gopal. Because he feels like that, he's the same personality. Although his appearance is somewhat different. And, of course, they were in this mood of becoming the lovers of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Ramachandra said, I'm sorry, I have this Ekapadam Vrata, I have this vow that in this incarnation I only have one wife. And I'm not just saying that, but that's actually the truth, because I am Maryada Purushottam, I'm sticking very strongly to my vow. So, but if you want that opportunity in a future birth, you come in a future birth, and at that time you can appear as gopis in Vrindavan, and then you have the opportunity to be like my wife. And then there are, I can't remember all of the examples, but there are many examples when Lord Ramachandra entered Mithila. There were ladies who were very much infatuated with him. Only Sita Devi was the person who gained his company. But to all of these other ladies who were enamored by Lord Ramachandra's beauty again, then they received the opportunity to be gopis as they went back to Ayodhya. Then they passed through so many different places. The same thing happened. Many of those other personalities received that blessing or benediction. So that again becomes an opportunity that when we're remembering Lord Ramachandra, when on Ram Navami we worship Lord Ram, that aside from offering our respect to him as the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, observing his appearance day, hearing his glories, we also pray to him. Just like you gave the opportunity to so many other personalities to enter Braj, to gain the association of Shyamasundar, we're also praying to you for that blessing, that benediction, if that's not too presumptuous of us. So it is a very relevant for that matter, of course, then Gargasamhita describes not only Lord Ramachandra, but even Vamandev, and interestingly enough, even Matsya Avatar. Because we're observing and hearing all about these personalities, they had similar leelas when Vamandev entered into the arena, the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. There were many ladies there who were very enchanted by him, despite the fact that he was a dwarf, which made for a bit of an extraordinary rasa relationship, because dwarves are not ordinary figures, but he wasn't an ordinary dwarf. He was very beautiful. And on top of that, he stuck out, because in Vedic culture, if India is anything to go by in Vedic culture, blonde hair is very rare, and Vamandev was a blonde. So, you know, blondes attract a lot of attraction. He's not the only incarnation of the Lord. Kapila Devi also has blonde hair. But still, they were also very attracted. So he also gave them the opportunity to take birth in Vrindavan later on. So we always see how are all of these appearances of the Lord, pastimes of the Lord, relevant to our bhakti. How do they enforce our devotional service? How do they assist in our mood? How is it that we can become more Krishna conscious by being Ram conscious, by being conscious of Lord Vamandev, by hearing about them? And that we learn from this Ekeha, this Ekanta Bhakti, that Hanumanji is also personifying, and that, of course, Srila Prabhupada very much personified for us. What to speak of demigods, but always concentrate and always think about the form of Krishna, that which is the most attractive and sweetest form of Godhead. I don't know, we have somewhat limited time. Well, not somewhat, but we don't have time. This time is limited. So maybe I'll just stop there and see if anyone has any comments to make or any questions to ask. Do we have either Michael? There's a microphone.
Hare Krishna. I don't know if it's relevant, but I'm curious about why Lord Ramachandra was worshipping Lord Shiva to cross Sri Lanka, the water.
It's a good question, relevant question, because many people use the example of Lord Ramachandra's worshipping of Shiva to show that actually Lord Shiva is the Supreme, and because Lord Ramachandra needed to worship Lord Shiva in order to get the Shakti or the potency to make this bridge and to kill Ravana. But of course that's Lord Ramachandra's Leela. The worship of Lord Shiva is integral to advancement in Krishna consciousness. Vaishnava and Jatashram, who here in Vrindavan, we worship Kameshwar and Gopeshwar and Chakleshwar and Nandeshwar and who's the fifth one? Bhuteshwar. Bhuteshwar, yes. So we worship Rameshwar, Shiva. There's so many forms of Lord. Certainly we offer. And simultaneously with him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's also playing the role of a king, and he's also appearing as a human, because that is exactly what Ravana is thinking, that here's this human who's actually coming to kill me. And therefore, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respects and danced and performed kirtan in many temples of Lord Shiva and bowed down before Lord Shiva. So in playing that role, Lord Ramachandra also did that. However, when Ravana was ultimately, because Ravana ultimately appealed to Lord Shiva, that when the battle was going on, please help me to defeat this human. And Lord Shiva appeared and told them, I'm sorry, this is not a human, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I can't help you. So you got yourself in this fix, and now you have to pay for the price. So we need to see not only where Lord Ram, Krishna, and others worship Lord Shiva and show a sense of subservience to him, but we also need to see where they show superiority and where Lord Shiva is also worshipping them. So when it came to power, when Krishna fought with Lord Shiva lost. Why? Because he's not the Supreme Krishna. So all these things need to be actually reconciled, and it's what adds to Krishna's wonderful qualities, is that he has contradictory qualities and he performs activities which appear to contradict each other. Sir. Oh, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
But should see to it that they don't override these architectural standards. Similarly, government should not indulge in the what religion is to do. But you say that they should take, that they don't really very difficult. So how it can be applied in today's world? Because everyone, those religionists who are there, so-called religionists, are following actually the basic laws. So a government has to be Krishna conscious to actually make, first of all, force them to come to teach them that these are the basic laws.
Yes, I mean in general, governments don't have to be lawyers, doctors, etc. in order to supervise lawyers, doctors. In this case, which sort of adds salt to their wound, they actually, in order to be able to supervise and enforce religious principles, they should be dharmic. So they have to be religious, at least to a certain extent. They have to follow at least general principles of religion. But you have ministries and you have departments who are specialists and who supervise and who ensure you have a bar which oversees and maintains the integrity of lawyers and judges. So in the same way, for all types of specialties, you have specialists who oversee them. Same thing that should be there with religions. Will it be? Anyway, it doesn't look like it's going in that direction. It looks like it's going in the opposite. But that was Srila Prabhupada's preaching, and that's what is really going to make religion work. Otherwise, everyone comes up with everything. Otherwise, everything becomes extremely subjective. Then governments become subjective. I know, for instance, in the Eastern European countries where democracy is, it's like something new, it's a fad. They never had experience with it in the past. Either they were under communism or before that they were monarchies. So democracy and freedom of religion is a real new experience for them. So they have real difficulty in defining what is an authorized religion. For instance, because when they open the door in many places like where I have experience in Hungary, for instance, the Association of Prostitutes in Hungary, in order to be tax exempt, they registered themselves as a religion. Not that, that's not very good, but it saves them money. So the government says, well, you know, they're registering as a religion. Not only them, but the witches, those who practice witchcraft and occult, they also register as a religion. And even if you could let that go, because it's in the realm of esoteric, but there are also certain people who import second-hand cars in the name of some particular religion in order to avoid import tax. So then the government says, well, listen, we need some kind of criteria. So the criteria should be either you already have 10,000 followers or you've been here for 100 years. But I mean, that's really subjective. I mean, what's being here for 100 years got to do with whether you're a bona fide religion or not? And so many people have 10,000 followers. That doesn't necessarily, you know, rock musicians have 10,000 followers. That doesn't make them a religion either. So then they keep shooting themselves in the foot. But when you say, no, well, listen, let's just agree what general religious principles are. No intoxication, no meat eating, food, that's like, and, you know, no alcohol, no prostitution, or at least not the way it's going on in the present. And we list a certain things and let's ensure that all religions, whatever their tradition, are both teaching and the members are following this. They say, I'm sorry, we don't get involved in these things. So secularism, as long as it exists by this definition, then it won't happen. It doesn't seem to be happening. I don't know what you wanted to question. And then we should end.
Thank you, Maharaj, for nice class. If you allow me, in fact, to find a connection about the Lord Shiva worship and the Rama worship of Lord Shiva.
Please.
Actually, it's not, Valmiki Ramayana has not mentioned that Lord Rama worships Shiva. but there is one pastime, it has happened. Because Ravana was forgotten from father's side or mother's side. He was from a Brahmin culture as well. Even he was a demon from parents. And when Sita came back from after killing Ravana, Alas only approached Lord Ram that by killing Ravana and his clan, there is some sin of killing a Brahmin. So on the request of Agast Muni, Agast Muni asked Ram to worship Lord Shiva to eradicate the sins because he was established in Maryada. So that particular time Sita made with her own hand from his hand at the time of permission a Shivling. So that is where Sita and Ram and Lakshman worship Shiva just to establish Maryada of killing Ravana in this plan. So that's the only reason Sita, Ram and Lakshman worship Shiva at Ramishwar, not as a Supreme Personality.
Yes, but they wouldn't worship him as a Supreme Personality, but then still the same question arises is that he is the Supreme Personality, so he doesn't need to worship Lord Shiva to become free from sin, because sin can't touch him anyway. But still, because he's setting that example, therefore it should be done. All right. I think we should stop there.
One last from you, Guru. Can I read that? I would like to clarify that when Lord Hanuman said that we must be focused on devotional service, which later solidified by the Narottama Das Thakur. What does one be focused devotional service means? So you say that we must only worship Vrindavan form of Krishna. We have got so many different forms of Krishna in his heart. Are they all Vrindavan forms?
The general principle of being ekanti is pure devotional service, anya bilajita shunyam. That's sort of the general practice that devotees accept and follow, is that we depend exclusively on Krishna. We don't depend on anyone else for anything, whatever yoga kshema, bahaviyaham, whatever we need, whatever we lack. What if Krishna gives, it's fine. If he doesn't give, he doesn't. Then more specifically is the anusilana, the cultivation of our devotional service is ultimately meant to be focused. Focus means that you're focusing in one place. So our focus then becomes Krishna, generally Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and Balaram. Those then become the purpose of all of our devotional activities, including the worship and respect of perhaps other forms. Devotees worship Shalagram Shilas, they have the Lord Narayana, who they may worship, and they may worship Hanumanji, or they may have Sitaram Devis, or Lord Nishringadev, or so many other, but that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. Anuto jvalara sastra bhakti sriyam vaipurata sundara yuti padama sandipita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in this world to revive and teach everyone about pure spontaneous devotional service to Krishna. And when we use everything uncool that's favorable for that, that is our act of surrender. And things that aren't favorable, things that we can use to increase our devotion to Krishna, then that's pratikul, and we leave that aside. Okay, now we should stop. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Nitai Gopin Gandhi, Hari Hari.
Thank you.